We want to lower barriers to entry. So those original barriers to entry were having an upfront investment, similar to how all solar was maybe a decade ago, and then we moved to PPAs. Here, we want to make sure that people can enter without cost and then leave without incurring a ton of cost as well. It feels easier to enter a contract and you're more likely to sign up that way. And then we want to open the market to new categories of consumers. So, you know, even as many as, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, most community solar offtake was actually commercial anchor style tenants. So a lot of those really credit worthy folks, school districts, municipalities and whatnot. We've seen a real big push toward making community solar a residential product and something that, you know, a lot of subscribers can take part in. So we don't have that bottleneck of finding super creditworthy anchors, the same problem that we have in the C&I on-site behind the meter projects. And then we want scale to attract customers. So the more community solar there is, the more likely subscribers are to find projects, the more likely they are to recommend projects, and the more common it's becoming for those subscribers to understand and see community solar. And the flip side, you know, who's actually making these projects happen? The developers and the financiers. So there's an ebb and flow of subscribers. Traditional rooftop solar really has very strict criteria for who can participate. But community solar allows people to come and go almost as they please. And so how can we make sure that financiers are comfortable with if John Smith leaves the subscription, Jane Doe will follow and replace him very easily. So that's a way that that's a way that financiers are getting more comfortable. Then we're seeing a lot of diverse markets, but there's a lot of similarities within those markets. So it's not exactly apples to apples to operate in New York versus Colorado, but on a financing perspective, they're understanding what those key metrics are. It's a very new type of product for financiers to get their heads around. So having some consistency and best practices is really helping that grow. And then finally, larger projects that are making the investment worthwhile. So some markets, you might see an occasional community solar project from a municipal utility or someone doing an experimental one-off pilot project that was 500 kW, really not worth financing. Then we started to see these 2 megawatt projects, like the early stage Colorado projects. But now we're seeing a lot of markets move toward these 5 megawatt projects, 5 megawatt AC, which usually ends up being around 7 megawatts DC, which if you're in the utility scale side, it might not be all that impressive and large, but as we know, increasing scale at all is going to make it easier for financiers and make your dollars go farther. So those are the meta trends. How do those relate into some more specifics? So I'll get into 3 specific trends in community solar. The first is a guaranteed savings product. So a traditional PPA, as you may all know, you have a rate and an escalator, or maybe a rate that holds steady for 20 years, but it's still really complicated to sell that to a subscriber without physically attaching modules to the roof. How does, you know, John Smith understand where energy rates are going in 5 years? Is this a good product? Is this a good project? What are we doing? So instead of providing a rate similar to a PPA, we're actually more comfortable with a floating rate. So different projects and different programs have different real-time rates. In markets like Colorado, that rate changes once a year. In markets like Minnesota, you know what that rate is for 20 years. In markets like New York, that rate can change every day. And so what financiers have to be willing to do is take that credit risk. So what's nice about it is the more sophisticated financier is now understanding where our rate's headed in 5, 10, 15 years. And we don't have to explain that at a kitchen table when selling a subscription. It's pretty exciting there to just know that you can go to a subscriber and say, yeah, this product is going to save you money. That's great. Only complication to consider there. is that, as we all know, community solar production is a bit of a bell curve. And so in the summertime, you'll actually produce more credits in the wintertime. Very much like net metering, those credits can carry over month to month. But the financiers want subscribers to pay for those credits as they're being produced, even if it's more than what their traditional energy bill would be. And so the hitch is, if you're saying, yeah, you're guaranteed to save money, but in July, you get an energy bill from the utility that's for $5 and a bill from us that's for $15, that's a hard sell. So there's a lot of coaxing that has to be done through the management process, which is actually the next trend in community solar.